It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Toxic PFAS chemicals have been a growing concern in Wisconsin in recent years, showing up in drinking water and surface water.
The class of chemicals has been used in a wide variety of industrial and commercial processes, from firefighting foam to nonstick surfaces in consumer products.
A new WPR report finds another source of PFAS contamination, biosolids from industrial and wastewater treatment spread on farm fields.
Biosolids are seen as a cost-effective alternative to imported fertilizers, but their use over time has led to high levels of PFAS in some communities.
WPR reporter Danielle Kading is with us for a look at the story. Danny, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
You start your story, Danny, in the town of Stella, that's just east of Rhinelander. How are they being affected by PFAS there?
Yeah, the town of Stella and the community of Starks has seen some of the most significant impacts from PFAS contamination in the state. The DNR has said some of the highest levels of the chemicals in drinking water nationwide have been discovered in private wells there. And a site inspection conducted on behalf of the EPA last year found that PFAS there is significantly higher than typical background levels within field soil, groundwater, and surrounding lakes or surface water.
I've heard of a lot of different sources of PFAS. Danny, your reporting is the first I've heard of this this biosolid spreading being part of the story. What are the biosolids at the heart of this story in Stella and elsewhere?
Sure. So biosolids are basically the same as treated sewage sludge. So when waste is treated at wastewater plants, that process separates the liquids from the solids. And what's left over is this nutrient-rich material that's often used by farmers as an alternative to fertilizer, as Kate mentioned.
And that comes from wastewater treatment plants. And in some cases, it's from an industrial facility as well, right?
That's right. It can come from several sources, that being industrial sludge, municipal treatment plants, and septage.
What kind of things are those biosolids tested for? They're waste products. I assume we're watching for some kind of pollutants in them.
Yeah, I mean, biosolids and sludge have long been tested for pathogens or bacteria and things like heavy metals, but they're not widely tested for PFAS right now because the EPA doesn't currently require that testing of sludge for the chemicals, and there are no federal or state standards that currently exist for PFAS and sludge. And the EPA is still evaluating the health risks tied to spreading this material on land before making any decision about regulating PFAS and biosolids.
And these biosolids, this isn't just happening in Stella, Wisconsin. This is a very common thing that we put on fields, right?
Yes. I mean, we worked with the DNR after requesting some records, and the data that we received showed around 1.2 million acres are approved to receive biosolids, industrial sludge, and septage. And the DNR says that that waste is spread on roughly 500,000 acres statewide each year.
In an interview with our colleagues at PBS Wisconsin, the chairperson of Stella, William Casey Crump, expressed concern about the different ways PFAS spreads, including going on the fields, as we're talking about.
They spread this stuff on my fields for years and years and years. I lived on that field. I grow vegetables in my garden, which turned out really good this year. Now I have concerns about consuming those vegetables because we water with our well water. We planted them in the soil that our property sits on. In addition to that, I lease out my land, and so corn is grown on that land. I think that corn goes to feed cattle and livestock. Are the cattle and livestock now consuming that corn?
Danny, what kind of things did you hear from people in the Stella area about their concerns here about these biosolids and PFAS chemicals?
Well, honestly, Rob, I found people were very reluctant to talk about this issue. I called a lot of people who either had contaminated wells or were a party to a class action lawsuit against the owners of the paper mill, current and former. I called farmers and businesses and the past and present town chair, but most didn't want to talk about it or didn't respond to me. And, you know, some cited the ongoing litigation. Some didn't want to stir the pot or draw attention to themselves, and others said farmers fear being forced out of business. And the people I spoke with on the Moen Lake chain are pretty frustrated that they're dealing with the stigma of PFAS contamination, and they still wonder about the data and the actual risks. Many people there have been eating fish from those lakes for years.
From the people you were able to talk to, what did you hear about the potential risks? Again, there's still a lot we don't know here. What kind of things, as you talk to different people, do we know and don't we know about the risks associated with PFAS being spread again on fields here?
Well, when we're talking about like regulators, basically the EPA has said farm families who get most of their diet from food grown on lands contaminated by PFAS in sewage sludge, they face higher risk. And some of the highest risk came from drinking milk or eating eggs and beef from cows that graze on lands that had this contaminated biosolids. Or people also faced higher risks if they drank contaminated water and ate fish from lakes that were affected by runoff from lands that had received PFAS contaminated sewage sludge.
You talked to Jeff Siemering, a staff scientist with UW-Madison Division of Extension, to get a sense of more of what we know and what we don't know about how this spreads. Here's a listen.
Even from a single application, you're seeing some plant uptake. Would it be toxic to an animal at that level? That we don't know, because we're not running that kind of a study.
And right. So, Danny, we know, okay, runoff into water, that's a concern. A big question mark, it sounds like, is... And we've heard from both of those clips we've played, does this get into plants? Does this get into the food chain? Is there any talk from Jeff Siemering or others about a need for that kind of research?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a developing area of research. There hasn't been much attention to biosolids as much as there has been to drinking water contamination from these chemicals. But what he did share is that, you know, when we're looking at the roots and the plant tissue itself, longer chain PFAS like PFOA and PFOS are more likely to remain in the roots or the soil of plants. And the shorter chain chemicals that are often used as alternatives to PFAS can concentrate up in the plant tissue. So there's a lot still that we have to learn about the impacts or possible food chain impacts. But the EPA does say that some farmers may want to consider reducing their risk by avoiding spreading the sludge on fields where they grow feed or where dairy cows or other livestock graze. And so there's just a lot of the risk depends on site-specific factors as well and spreading frequency and rates.
We're talking to WPR reporter Danielle Kading. She is reporting on the use of biosolids on fields around Wisconsin. Very common practice for fertilizer. Concerns about the PFAS classes of chemicals showing up in those biosolids. Danny, you talked to Steve Warner, statewide site review coordinator for the wastewater program at the Wisconsin DNR, about the idea of testing for PFAS. Here's some of what he had to say.
Those sampling requirements can be put into a permit. So once this strategy was evolving, it just takes time to go through that 5-year renewal cycle for every permit in the state.
Right. So is there any movement, Danny, toward saying, yes, in addition to the other tests we're doing on these biosolids, we're going to start testing for at least some of the PFAS class of chemicals when we give these permits?
Yeah, I mean, the DNR began requiring this testing last year, and according to the data that we received, at least 130 municipal plants and industrial facilities, have tested so far. And there's varying results. I think we found that more than a third of those 130 facilities had levels of PFAS that were concerning enough that treatment plants should look at reducing or investigating the source of those chemicals, but it wouldn't stop them from spreading. There were about several plants that were identified as having significant levels of contamination where they would suggest alternative treatment or disposal and not approve any new land application sites.
Danny, bigger picture, you and we have been following the story of how the state is dealing with PFAS, some funding allocated. There was a long-running standoff between the governor and lawmakers about how to use that funding. One of the core questions is the idea of the innocent user of a product, right? If I'm a farmer, There's PFAS contamination on my land, maybe because of biosolids that I didn't know there was PFAS in. Am I liable? What is the status of that argument in the state, and, you know, how to hold people liable potentially for PFAS contamination without punishing people who inadvertently ended up with it in their on their property?
Well, there's been some movement on the legislation that was introduced by Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger and Representative Jeff Mersaw. They introduced a couple of bills earlier this year to create grant programs to address PFAS, and one that would exempt certain individuals or facilities from paying for PFAS contamination they didn't cause, so that innocent landowner provision. But there's a lot of debate over that still. The DNR says the current version of the bills would still allow polluters to get off the hook. So there's been requested revisions to the language. Republicans and Governor Tony Evers have been at odds over this approach. They just don't agree on a path forward right now of how to protect certain individuals and provide these resources to communities and people who are struggling with contamination.
As we wrap up, Danny, what are you watching for? What's the big open question or next step on your mind in our last half a minute?
Well, I'm just curious to see what testing will reveal over time. I mean, we know that the spreading is occurring on roughly 500,000 acres statewide, but it's really unclear what level of risk people are facing, because we just don't know how much PFAS might be in that sludge. So I think it will be important to track what the testing shows.
Danny, thanks as always for sharing your work with us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Danielle Kading, reporter based at WPR's Superior Bureau. We've been talking about her reporting on PFAS contamination and biosolid fertilizers on farm fields. You can read a lot more of her work. Head over to WPR.org. Again, find that reporting at WPR.org.